Good evening. I'd like to call this evening's Kendall County Board adjourned September meeting for January 2nd, 2018 at 6 p.m. to order. Roll call, please.
Ms. Kulick?
Here.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers? Mr. Giles?
Here.
Ms. Gilmore?
Here.
Mr. Greider?
Here.
Ms. Hendricks?
Here.
Mr. Kellogg?
Here.
Mr. Prochaska?
Here.
Mr. Purcell?
Present.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. Ms. Flowers is excused this evening. Happy New Year, everyone, and welcome. Thank you for coming out and braving the elements. With the quorum being present, may I have a motion to approve previous month's minutes?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Kulick, seconded by Hendricks. Any discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. May I have a motion to approve the agenda as written?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Hendricks, seconded by Kulick. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Correspondence and communications, County Clerk.
I don't have anything.
Welcome back from your vacation as well. Special recognition, is there any special recognition this evening? Thank you. Citizens to be heard on behalf of county business. You have 5 minutes.
Todd Millern, Yorkville. The last meeting I brought to your attention my concerns about the way your liquor control ordinance is being administrated. Apparently since we've changed county administrators, there's been some changes up there in that office, or the administration office. I'd expressed my concerns about how the deputy or assistant liquor control commissioner was appointed for the last public hearing. And read this ordinance in depth a few more times, asked the county clerk a few questions, asked the county treasurer a few questions via FOIA. And section 3, page 9, it says that the application fee or renewal fee would be in the form of a certified check, bank draft, or money order, and then made payable to the liquor control commissioner of Kendall County. On page 8, section 2, all applications to the liquor control commission shall be filed in duplicate in the Office of Administrative Services, Kendall County, and shall be accompanied by the full amount of the license fee required to be paid for the class of license applied for. In this case, it was a Class A license, and the fee was $2,000. All checks, money, or short order should be made payable, again, to the Liquor Control Commissioner of Kendall County, Illinois. Page 18, Section 21, all license fees received by the Liquor Control Commission shall be paid over to the county treasurer and credited to the general fund of the county. I was able to receive a copy of the application check. It was a cashier's check, check number 633492, written on November the 20th. The application was dated November the 22nd. So when that application came in, this public hearing was supposed to be held on December the 5th. If you don't count the 22nd as a date, then that's like 13 days. Generally in Kendall County, we have a public hearing and it requires 15 days public notice from the date of publication. And this check was made out to the Kendall County Treasurer's Office, not the Liquor Control Commission. And as of 4 p.m. today, I asked the treasurer if she had received this check. She indicated no, she had not. It was apparently still in the clerk's office. Page 9, Section 3, is another requirement. Notice shall be published, this is the public notice, notice shall be published in a paper of general circulation in Kendall County at least once, in which notice shall contain the date, time, and location of the public hearing required prior to the issuance of said license. I asked for a copy of that published notice, and all I received was the copy of the public notice that would have been down there in the glass case on the outside of this building. So the notice of publication in the paper, I was unable to receive that. So I don't know if that was done or not. In Section 7, it said all original and renewal applications for liquor licenses shall be accompanied with proof of completion of state certified beverage alcohol sellers and servicers education training of what they call the BASSET program. And all persons who sell or serve alcohol liquor, all management personnel working on premises are supposed to have that certification. The FOIA request that I put in, I asked them to produce a copy of that, passing that training, and the recurring clerk's response was, the county clerk does not have any records responsive to the bassinet training certification. So the application actually came forward without complying with this ordinance. And I don't know exactly why. Also, when that public notice was down there on the side of the building, it indicated that, you know, the Liquor Control Commission apparently is now located in room 220. Section 6, page 20, this is very important, says the office of the Liquor Control Commission shall be in the office of the Administrative Services office in the Kendall County Office Building, Yorkville, Illinois, or in such other place as the county board shall designate. Now, has this board actually made that designation to where the clerk's going to take over these responsibilities?
15 seconds.
Is this duty being delegated to the county clerk now, and why? And who has the authority to designate the county clerk as this position? The Liquor Control Commissioner gets $1,200 a year to take care of this job, but it apparently now is being designated to the county clerk's office.
5 minutes.
I'm not done, but I'll yield the floor.
Thank you. Is there anyone else? Thank you. Is there any need for executive session at this time? Old business. New business. May I have a motion to approve the HIDTA Writer Service Contract with the Kendall County as a fiduciary agent effective January 2nd, 2018 through project completion in the amount of $5,000.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Gilmore, seconded by Kulik. Sheriff, do you want to mention that briefly?
Yeah, Dwight Beard for the record. This is something that was approved by the executive director and the HIDTA board. It's a temporary position to rewrite some policies and some general orders and stuff like that. It's only a temporary position. Obviously, it has all the other financial fiduciary responsibilities of the county and HIDTA. 2% comes to us, and it's federal money, stuff like that.
Thank you. Any questions for the sheriff? Roll call, please.
Ms. Kulik?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Grader?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Thank you. May I have a motion to approve the collective bargaining agreement between Kendall County, Illinois, the Kendall County Sheriff, and the Illinois Fraternal Order of Police Labor Council Patrol Sergeants from December 1, 2015 through November 30th, 2019?
So moved.
Motion by Hendricks.
Second.
Seconded by Purcell. Do you like to?
Sure. Leslie Johnson.
Give us the highlights.
Kendall County State's Attorney's Office. Just to give you the highlights of this agreement, it's very similar to the patrol deputies contract that was approved in December of 2017. This is a four-year contract that runs from December 1, 2015 to November 30th, 2019. There are currently 8 members in this bargaining unit. The terms of this agreement include the following. It will modify the dispute resolution procedures and the grievance procedures so that it is consistent with all of the other FOP Labor Council bargaining units, so everybody is following the same timelines and procedures. There's also been some clarification provided in here with respect to the definition of seniority and addressing when 2 bargaining unit members are promoted to sergeant on the same day. It also includes a limitation for employees that are hired after August 21st, 2017 that will eliminate their ability to use their sick time in conjunction with their separation date to extend out their separation date. There is also modification in language in here that will allow the sheriff to utilize 12-hour shifts for the patrol sergeants. There is also the same language in all of the other bargaining units that you have approved previously regarding the health insurance changes that will provide the county with more flexibility to be able to make modifications to the health insurance during the upcoming years. There is also two new provisions included in this collective bargaining agreement that the sergeant, patrol sergeants cannot use their time off in conjunction with their regularly scheduled days off to be absent for more than 17 consecutive days off without the sheriff's prior approval. And there's also new language in here that says that the patrol sergeants cannot miss more than 2 in-house training days per year without the sheriff's prior approval. With respect to equipment, it is also eliminating specific list of equipment and replacing that with language that gives the sheriff the ability to determine what equipment and uniforms are deemed necessary for the position, and that it says that the sheriff will provide that type of equipment that he deems reasonably necessary for the position. So that gives the sheriff some flexibility with respect to the job assignments and things for the patrol deputies and the duties. With respect to wages, the increases for salaries are the same as what they are for the patrol deputies. It is 3% each year for 4 years of the contract. Does anyone have any questions for me?
Mr. Purcell.
Are all the grievances regarding health insurance for this unit resolved?
This unit has also agreed, just like the patrol deputies, to dismiss their pending health insurance grievance that they had filed back in December of 16. So they are dismissing that grievance. There are no other pending grievances from this unit with respect to health insurance.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Sheriff? Oh, Ms. Hendricks.
No, I yield the floor. Go ahead. I just wanted to say that your effort in doing all of the bargaining that we've had done has been outstanding, and I know that some would argue that that's your job, but I have watched you slog away at this tirelessly and very professionally for quite a long time in the 1 year that I've been here, and it's been an impressive feat.
Thank you. I appreciate
and
that.
And thank you very much.
Thanks.
I would echo that statement by Audra. Thank you, Leslie. Also, I just wanted to, since healthcare came up, I wanted to make the board aware that an issue came up with one of the deputies with his son with the healthcare change, and a lot of effort on a lot of parts, but also board member Kulik had contacted Pajowskis and them and worked through it to make sure that the newborn was covered with the change that had occurred. And it was they really did a good job helping us out. So sometimes you don't hear that feedback in the customer service, but I want to make sure the board was aware of that. So, and that, you know, the grievance was avoided, but the best part is that child is taken care of. So
thank you for bringing that up again.
Yeah, thank you.
You bet,
Sheriff. I appreciate it. And I think I said this to some others in a committee meeting before, but so for everybody that wasn't at the committee meeting where I was announcing it, because I was very excited, that it's good for us to hear that there is an exception that was made when we talked about it at length at committee about making any kind of change, and, you know, how would that affect the staff, how would that affect employees. And I'm glad that it was an exception that was approved, because it was one that, in my estimation, should have been approved, and it was exactly the kind of example that we had when we were talking about it in committee. So,
thank you.
Great news.
Yeah.
Thanks,
Sheriff. And thank you, Leslie.
Yeah, if I may, this, just so the board is aware, this is the last collective bargaining agreement that you have to approve until late 2019.
I'd like to propose a round of applause.
That's great news, and thank you.
Indeed. Roll call, please.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Ms. Kulik?
Yes.
All ayes. Thank you. Standing Committee reports. Finance Committee, Ms. Kulik.
Oh, here we go. I wasn't ready.
Apologies.
I didn't get my glasses out either. I'd like to make a motion to approve claims in an amount not to exceed $1,737,087.67. Pettit jurors in an amount not to exceed $2,248.80.
Second.
Motion by Kulik, seconded by Kellogg. Any discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Ms. Kulick?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
I'd also like to make a motion to approve coroner claims at an amount not to exceed $907.61.
Second.
Motion by Kulick, seconded by Kellogg, and as I have said at the previous meeting, under the board rules of order, Member Purcell has recused himself from this discussion and then therefore should be treated as though he is not here. Is there any discussion?
You'd like to do that all day.
Second that.
That might pass. Roll call, please.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Kulick?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
All in favor, thank you. Admin HR, Ms. Kulick.
Before I forget, I just want to make an announcement that our next HR admin meeting will be this Thursday, the 4th, at 5:30 p.m. I myself almost forgot about it, and because I did not have it on my calendar. So I just wanted to remind the committee members that are present, and I will probably send a text. I know that will annoy you all, but I will send a reminder text as well. But I will make a motion to approve resolution to adopt the annual 1,000-hour standard for IMRF participation.
I'll second
motion
that.
Motion by Kulick, seconded by Purcell. Any discussion?
We had much discussion at the committee level about this. I know that we had a presentation as well, and were able to speak with the representatives from IMRF about how that would affect our county when it was several months ago, probably spring, actually, when we talked about it. We now have all of our questions answered and have those answers in writing. We feel that this would be beneficial to the county to go from 600 hours to 1,000 hours.
Thank you. Any questions? Mr. Purcell?
Not a question, but just to clarify for those who were not part of the discussion, what this does is currently our IMRF threshold is 600 hours. This would move it to 1,000 hours, but it would only change it for employees hired after. Is there a date list in here? Would it be from today's date?
Today's date when the resolution is passed.
Okay. So any employee who was hired after today's date would not get IMRF unless it was 1,000 hours or more. So, for example, a retired employee who came back to work part-time, they would still have a 600-hour threshold, even if they retired 10 years ago. If they were part of IMRF, it'd be a 600-hour threshold. That is what was explained to us is for employees of Kendall County. My recollection is if they worked for another agency and had IMRF under that agency, that the 1,000 hours would apply if they're hired after this date. Is that correct?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
But those are some of the questions we had, is how does it impact it? So I appreciate the patience in getting these answers resolved.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Any other, Mr. Davidson?
What was the reasoning that, I mean, if we pass it and everybody agrees to it, it's not in the contract like the police or the FOP?
All of the FOP bargaining units are full-time positions, so.
But isn't there part-time people?
There are.
There are part-time people, but they're not covered under the collective bargaining agreements.
Okay, so why can't we take them, everybody to 1,000?
Because that's the way the law's written.
It's what?
That's the way the rules are written by IMRF or the state.
Any other comments or questions on this item? Roll call, please.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Ms. Kulick?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
All ayes, thank you. Health and Environment, I know that's not meeting again until March.
March.
So we didn't really need to have it on?
Well,
or was there anything new?
Actually, we met on December 18th, and
oh, okay.
Those minutes are in the packet. But, you know, thank you for saying that, because we do not meet in January or February because of the holidays, so we meet. Our next meeting is March.
Thank you. The next item is the Committee of the Whole. Ms. Kulick, I'll let you. Is there anything you wanted to highlight on that?
No.
Minutes are in the packet.
Yeah, minutes are in the packet, and I'm just looking at. We talked about some of the things that would be on the agenda today, and it was pretty, it was a good discussion, but it really was pretty benign. We didn't.
Thank you.
No healthy debate on anything.
Thank you. May I have a motion to approve the standing committee minutes?
So moved.
Motion by Kulik, seconded by Hendricks. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Special committee reports. KenCom Executive Board, Ms. Gilmore.
The board meets on January 25th.
Thank you. Housing Authority, Mr. Prochaska.
Mr. Chairman, the Housing Authority will meet in February and approve our annual submission to HUD for our annual CMAP score.
Great.
We anticipate we'll once again be a high-performing housing board.
Excellent. Keep up the good work over there. Chairman's report, nothing this evening. Is there any need for executive session? Citizens to be heard. You have 5 minutes.
I don't think I'll need that much.
As you all know, I'm an insurance agent. I collect funds from clients all the time. In doing so, I have a fiduciary responsibility. So what that means is that if I accept payment of some time, in this case, an example I'm using is a cash check or a money order, I am required to whatever, send those funds in or put them on deposit in a premium trust account immediately or within 2 business days. I discussed this issue about fiduciary responsibility with the treasurer. She agreed with me, and she said that funds accepted on behalf of any county person, including elected officials, they have a fiduciary responsibility and are supposed to whatever deposit funds in a timely manner. And if there is an ordinance that says those funds need to be put on deposit with the county treasurer, then that needs to happen, and it needs to happen forthwith and in a prompt manner. And she agreed with me that basically 2 business days is a good standard. So why that's not being done, I don't know. There are several things that I brought up regarding this liquor application that came forward on December the 5th. And it's a unique and special situation. And it's being handled in a unique and special way. And according to what I read in your ordinance, many of the provisions of the ordinance that you guys passed only about 30 months ago, it was July of 2015, the last time this ordinance was revisited and amended and changed, that ordinance is not being followed. And there's provisions in there for a liquor control committee. And I'm encouraging you in this situation to impanel that committee. That ordinance is there for a reason, and there's provisions for a committee, and I think this committee needs to be formed and be part of this process for this one application. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other citizens to be heard? The record show there are none. Any questions from the press?
Yes, I have a question. Jim Wyman, WSPY Radio. What is the status of the liquor license application for the confessional that was originally going to be considered on December 5th?
We have not received a signed lease from them, and that nothing. So until we get all of our information from the confessional, I don't expect there to be any sort of hearing. Nothing's been approved. We are waiting for the confessional. Nothing on the county's end is holding this up.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Sir.
Before we adjourn, I forgot to announce for our finance, our meeting times, we're going to change them in January and February till 5 p.m. for both of the meetings, the first and second meeting.
What days are those?
The Thursdays.
Second and fourth. Thursdays.
The one is the same as the cow, and the one is the, yes. So, but we changed the time to 5, just move it up a little bit.
Sure.
5:30.
Thank you.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that. I apologize.
May I have a motion to adjourn?
Mr. Keppel.
And the because of leap year and the weird timing, the actually the second finance meeting in February will actually be March 1st, I believe. We're looking at that today. So not to confuse you too much, but
too late.
Because of how it falls and in order to get the bills done correctly, I think that that will need to fall that way.
Is this
way.
A leap year?
No.
I think it is, isn't it?
No.
No, no, I'm sorry, since it's not leap year. So that Thursday would be the first.
For February, well, let's talk about that next meeting.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring
that
up.
Yeah, add that to the agenda. I'm delegating that, thank you.
No problem.
Please.
May I have a motion to adjourn? Ms. Hendricks.
Second.
Seconded by Prochaska. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Thank you. That may be a record.
Every time there's a presidential.